Welcome, welcome again to Disciple Me. I'm so excited that you have joined me today for this session as we are still on Pray Woman Pray. And we're definitely going to chime in on how our prayers are hindered today. And so today we're going to touch on quite a bit of scripture today. So I want to make sure that you are logged on to and I have your Bibles handy, you're logged on to BibleGateway.com, or you have your tablets or smartphones ready to search out the Word. And we're going to touch on, again, quite a few scriptures, so I want to make sure that you have those handy so we can really dive into it and really break those down. So we're going to talk about how our prayers are hindered. And then the key thing is that I'm going to give scripture to support that, because I think that it's very important that when you're talking about things, you know, being hindered, people need something that's tangible, you know, the proof that says, okay, if it's going to be hindered, you know, back it up with the Word of God. And I believe that that's definitely something that we should do. A lot of us are really, really concerned about having an effective prayer life. And so I really, truly believe that if you want to have an effective prayer life, then you will want to be aware of those things that can actually hinder your prayers. And so the Bible gives clear insight in various areas of things that can hinder our prayers. And so the first one that we're going to touch base on today is going to be disobedience. There's going to be two scriptures that tie to that. The first scripture is going to come from Deuteronomy 1, chapter 1, verse 45. And then the second chapter that we will look at, or the second book that we will look at, actually, is going to come from 1 Samuel 14, 37, and then 28 and 6. And so we're just going to take a quick look at Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 45. And I have my deal set to read at the Message, and I don't want to read from the Message. I'm going to read from the New King James Version. That's my preferred one to read from primarily. So Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 45 says, "Then you returned and wept before the Lord, but the Lord would not listen to your voice nor give ear to you." And so, again, we're talking about disobedience. Then if you'll take a look at 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 37, you'll see, so Saul asked counsel of God, "Shall I go down after the Philistines? Will you deliver them into the hand of Israel?" But he did not answer him that day. So you see this? This is some disobedience going on. So, and then the other one that came from 1 Samuel is going to be 1 Samuel chapter 28, verse 6, and you can read that at your leisure. You know, although God is loving and forgiving, you know, as we talk about disobedience, when you are disobedient, sometimes there are grave consequences. And so disobedience is one of those areas that would definitely cause God not to hear you. If you're not doing what thus says, you know, the word of the Lord, if you're not obeying, if you're going against, you know, what God has put forth in your life to do and doing your own thing, and so if your prayers are not manifesting, disobedience may be one of those things that is definitely in the way. The second one, hindrance that I want to talk to you about is private sin. Now, the reason why I say private sin is because a lot of times people feel like that if, you know, certain people don't see what's going on, then they don't know the sins that they're, you know, doing, you know, it's behind closed doors, et cetera. But I want you to turn to your Bibles to Psalm chapter 66, verse 18, Psalm 66:18, and it says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. Now, the thing that I like about BibleGateway.com is that not only, I can read from the NKJV version, but it also allows me to do parallel. So I'm going to read another parallel version of this for you. And I'm going to read it from the Living Bible translation. And it says, Psalm 66:18 says, "He would not have listened if I had not confessed my sins." So when you look at this and we're talking about private sins, man may not see your sins, but God knows your heart. So secret sin will definitely be one of those areas that will hinder your prayers. So definitely these are some places that you really have to begin to examine yourself and to find out, you know, are these some things that's in my life that's causing my prayers to be hindered? Because more than likely, if there is some stumbling blocks, these are some areas that are causing for your prayers to be hindered. Let's take a look at Proverbs 21 and 13. That's Proverbs 21 and 13. Our next one that we're going to talk about is indifference. And so in the scripture, it reads, "Whoever shuts his ear to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and not be heard." Okay? So I'm going to actually read from you the parallel to that out of the Message Bible, and it says, Proverbs 21 and 13 says, "If you stop your ears to the cries of the poor, your cries will go unheard and unanswered." Okay? So this is indifference. What it's basically saying here is take heed not to reject the wisdom of God. You really have to take caution in becoming self-sufficient, okay? The next scripture that I want you to take a look at is going to come out of That's going to be the one that I just gave you, Proverbs. I'm so sorry because I'm getting my notes tied up. Let's go back to indifference. Indifference, the scripture that I want to give you is going to come from Proverbs chapter 1, verse 28. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 28. And then the scripture that I gave you, Proverbs 21 and 13, is going to tie to the next one that I'm going to go over with you. But indifference, Proverbs chapter 1, 28. It says, "Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me." And so that's in the NKJV version. But the Message says, "Since you laugh at my counsel and make a joke of my advice, how can I take you seriously? I'll turn the tables and joke about your troubles. What if the roof falls in and your whole life goes to pieces? What if catastrophe strikes and there's nothing to show for your life but rubble and ashes? You need me then. You'll call for me, but don't expect an answer. No matter how hard you look, you won't find me." And so that's indifference. And so that's what I want to harp in on, that to not, for you to take heed not to reject the wisdom of God, because you need to take caution in becoming a person that is self-sufficient, like you don't need God, you know, because if you get to a place where you're self-sufficient, then guess what? God is not going to hear you. You have to be constantly going before God and trusting him and seeking his wise counsel. This is very, very real. Now, the Proverbs 21 and 13 that we have read previously, which read, "Whoever shuts his ear to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and not be heard," that actually ties to negligence. And so basically, you must be careful not to be like the priest and the Levite who passed and left the stranger on the road to Jericho. We need to choose to be like the Good Samaritan who gave of himself and took the time to care for his brother. And often in times what you will do is you will find that we have a lot of people that are so in a hurry. We're in a hurry to get to our jobs. We're in a hurry to get to church. We're in a hurry, and we're passing by people that are needy. They need our help. They need to be ministered to. Because at the end of the day, the reality is this. When we get to the house of God, you know, many times when we're on our jobs, et cetera, at school and stuff, a lot of people that are there in those environments really do know the Lord. You know, especially, you know, at church, they've come to the place where they can get help. So we really have to be conscious about our surroundings to make sure that everyone that is in need, that we're not missing them and we're not so caught up in ourselves that we're passing by and missing opportunities to minister to them. That's negligence. So when you do that, that is another area that God is like, you're not even concerned about my people. And so, you know, that will cause for your prayers to be hindered. So we really need to look at that. Another area that can cause your prayers to be hindered is hypocrisy. And so we're going to take a look at Isaiah chapter 1, verse 15. Again, that's Isaiah chapter 1, verse 15. And it reads, and we're talking about hypocrisy. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. And again, I like to read parallel because sometimes it just gives you a different perspective, even though the NKJV is my preferred Bible that I do read from. I do read from other versions of the Bible just to kind of get, you know, a little different perspective or whatever. So this one I'm going to read from the Amplified, Isaiah 1 and 15, and it says, "And when you spread forth your hands in prayer, imploring help, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood." So we're talking about hypocrisy here. To do what God commands, it's not enough to just do what God commands. The reality is your heart must be sincere and your motives must be genuine. And see, we talked about that yesterday about our motives being genuine, because at the end of the day, our prayers can be hindered if we have selfish motives, if we make it about us and not about God. Our prayers can definitely be hindered. So we definitely want to be conscious that our heart is sincere and our motives are genuine when we are going before the Lord, and that we're not doing stuff for personal gain, and we're not doing just what God commands, but it really truly is a heart matter as well. Turn to me with, Isaiah 59 and 2, Isaiah chapter 59 and 2. And our next area that we're going to discuss is going to be iniquity. And so we know that iniquities, we see that in the Bible, and a lot of times, you know, what people will say is that, you know, they see iniquity, they see sin, you know, what is this? I really want to encourage people that when you find something that is questionable, that you just don't take it at what someone says, but that you actually do the research and that you look it up as well. So when the Bible is talking about iniquities, it's talking about, in essence, being unfair or evil. Something, you know, it's really kind of like injustice or just, you know, evil doings. That's the iniquity. And so in Isaiah 59 and 2, it says, "But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear." Okay? The Amplified Version says, "But your iniquities have made separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear." And so what I want to really relate here is that unconfessed sin in your life causes God to turn a deaf ear to your prayers. And so a lot of people, you know, this is going to be an area that a lot of people do struggle in because we do not truly confess the sin. You know, it said, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways, he said, then I will heal the land. And so it is very important that we have to do, and it's, again, a heart matter, but we have to have a repentant heart. We have to have a repentant heart. We can't just sit up here and just think that we can continue in our sin and, you know, God is going to continue to hear what we have to say and we continue to do what we want to do. So, again, it is very important as we're talking about iniquity. I'm going to read from my Bible dictionary that I have, my student Bible dictionary that I have. It says iniquity, sin, wrong, corruption, lawlessness, wickedness, the opposite of what is right. You know, what iniquities do you have in your life? So we really need to do an examination on ourselves and to search out and to see, good Lord, what unconfessed sin do I have in my life? Because I don't want God to turn a deaf ear on my prayers. You know, whatever, you know, sin that has been done, whether it's known or unknown, God, you know, I need for you to forgive me for these things. And with it being a heart matter, God, I want to turn away from because I don't want to continue to, you know, be in sin. So this is very important for the life of the believer. The second hindrance that we're going to talk about today is going to be stubbornness. that's an interesting one to bring up, you know, as far as stubbornness is concerned, but it's a good one. So I want you to turn to Zechariah chapter 7, verse 13. Chapter 7, verse 13. I want to get ahead and give you the verses that are in the chapter. And it reads, therefore it happened that just as he proclaimed, and they would not hear, so they called out, and I would not listen, says the Lord of hosts. Amplify reads, so it came to pass that as he cried, and they would not hear, he said, so they shall cry, and I will not answer, says the Lord of hosts. There comes a time when God allows man to suffer the consequences of his sin. If a man will not listen to God, then God will not listen to man. I mean, it is written in Scripture that, you know, you can be stubborn all you want to. You can have unconfessed sin. You know, you can go about doing your own thing. But, you know, just like any parent, with those of us that have children or those of us that are like guardians and definitely, you know, parents, children, we can relate to this stubbornness thing. Because the reality is that if a child of ours, think about it, if a child that we are giving guidance to has this stubbornness about themselves, and becomes disobedient. I mean, we're talking about things that hinder prayer. They become disobedient, and they start to do their own thing and won't listen to us as a parent. Then definitely, you know, we're not going to listen to them. You know, they're definitely going to suffer some consequences. It's the same thing with God. So if you continue in the way that you're going, you cannot expect for God to continue to be so gracious. Yes, he loves us, but there's going to be consequences for your actions. And so that, in essence, causes our prayers to definitely be hindered. So we really have to look at these things. Let's take a look at the next thing that can hinder our prayers is doubt and instability. Doubt and instability. So let's take a look at James chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. James chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. And it reads, but let him ask in faith, with no doubting, For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. My goodness, look at that. I'm going to read it from the Amplified version as well. James chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. Only it must be in faith that he asks with no wavering, meaning no hesitating, no doubting. For the one who wavers, hesitates, doubts, is like the billowing surge out at sea that is blown hither and thither and tossed by the wind. For truly, let not such a person imagine that he will receive anything he asks for from the Lord. For being as he is, a man of two minds, hesitating, dubious, irresolute, he is unstable and unreliable and uncertain about everything. He thinks, feels, and decides. You can't be two-minded. When you pray to God, you must have faith in him. You must believe that he can do all things, because doubt causes you to be unstable. And when you become unstable, your prayers can be hindered. Doubt and instability will cause your prayers to be hindered. You can't go to a God that you say that you believe in. You say, God, I believe in God. I believe he's able to do this. I believe this. And then in the second breath, there is doubt there. Because when you are like that, then that means that you are in a place of being faithless. So you have to go and having faith means you cannot doubt. You have to believe with every being in your body, with every breath in your body, that whatever you are coming to God, again, because we're talking about prayer, it has to be the will of God as well. So we're doing some self-examination. You know, whatever you're going before God in prayer with, that is going to be answered, but you cannot doubt. You cannot doubt. The next area that can cause our prayers to be hindered is going to be selfish motivations. I cannot harp on this enough. Let's take a look at James chapter 4, verse 3. James chapter 4, verse 3. It reads, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. We touched based on that yesterday. The Amplified version says, or you do ask God for them and yet fail to receive because you ask with wrong purpose and evil, selfish motives. Your intention is when you get what you desire to spend it in sensual pleasures, you know, things what you want, selfish motivation. The reality is why you pray, the why, the reason why you pray is just as important as what you pray for, because it's a heart matter. God is concerned with your heart and the motivation for your prayers. So if you are praying for selfish reasons, your prayers are going to be hindered. That's why this prayer life that we are to have, this thing is so real. It is so serious. It is not to be taken lightly or for granted. So I want for us to do an exercise throughout the course of the day, you know, while you're, you know, going through. We've talked about areas that will cause our prayers to be hindered, and those are disobedience, private sin, indifference, negligence, hypocrisy, iniquity, stubbornness, doubt and instability, selfish motivation. Those are things that will cause our prayers to be hindered. And I gave some supporting scriptures for those. So now what I want you to do, because like I say, I always like for people to have a journal handy, so you can write and so you can always go back to this and really reflect on what we're discussing here. And I want to talk about the word, you know, I know we're talking about hindrance, but I also want to talk about the word hinder, okay? When you think about hinder in its nature, as an adjective, it says behind, last, rear. Come on now. Behind, last, rear. Hinder. As a verb, it is to delay, keep back, withhold, injure, interrupt. Hindrances. Think about that. What I want you to do is reflect over what we've discussed today and examine your life. And so the question that I'm going to ask, or the two questions that I'm going to pose to you is this. The first one is this. Is there anything that may be hindering your prayers? It's examination time. Is there anything that may be hindering your prayers? And if so, what is it? If so, what is it? We got to identify what these are. And I'm going to go ahead and throw a third one out there. What can you do to eliminate it? Okay? My first question to you as you examine your life today, is there anything that may be hindering your prayers? If so, what is it? And then the third, what can you do to eliminate it? Well, all right. This session of Pray Woman Pray is now coming to an end as we have discussed how our prayers are hindered. I pray that this has been a blessing to you as it has been to me. Please join me on tomorrow as we're going to discuss the results of prayers, of our prayers, and we're going to talk about some things that will definitely help us about, you know, how prayer brings about results. And results basically brings about more prayer. But we're going to touch base on that on tomorrow. I really thank you for sacrificing your time and tuning in, and I pray that this is definitely being something that is edifying you, equipping you, and empower you to be the disciple woman that God is calling you to be. I look forward to our time tomorrow, and I pray that you have a very blessed day. This is your host, Dr. Kahala Bolton, on Disciple Me, and I will see you tomorrow. Remember this, ministry that costs nothing accomplishes absolutely nothing. There's always a cost. Love you guys. Be blessed and be a blessing.